Everybody ready?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks off 59 and Kirby, this is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy.
Tri-Eagle Energy.
Here's Charlie Polillo.
The NFL on the weekend tonight. It is all about the college football national championship game. Alabama and Clemson, chapter 3 for the title, 4 consecutive years in the playoff. And as I always strive to do on game day or somewhere close to it, but this year on game day, our guy to talk college football with all season long. So ahead of someone's crowning moment tonight, we welcome Phil Steele to just kick around issues related to the Crimson Tide and the Tigers. Phil, happy new year, I guess, still would be in play since we last spoke. The calendar's clicked to 2019. Where do we begin? How about this? Whose career from this day forward would you rather have? Tua Tagovailoa or Trevor Lawrence? What a quarterback matchup we get in the title game.
Yeah, tremendous title game. And, pick another two. I think the guy with more NFL upside right now is actually Trevor Lawrence. When you look at him, he's pretty much got everything you want in an NFL QB. And I think that you mentioned career long term. I would have to go with Trevor Lawrence, give him the slightest of edges over Tua. Tua will be a big-time draft pick as well, but I think Trevor Lawrence probably the first player taken in the draft.
Let's discuss the matchups from each side of the line of scrimmage, and, well, we have to pick one. So let's go Clemson's offense against Alabama's defense. Trevor Lawrence got the job full-time earlier this season because his credentials are impeccable, the talent is obvious, and no disrespect to Kelly Bryant, but last year in the semifinal, he was in over his head in terms of at this level. So what do you think of Lawrence and this year's Clemson's offense against Nick Saban's always great, but I guess the consensus is not one of his very, very, very best Alabama defenses.
Yeah, and I would have to put the two units extremely close. I rate Clemson's offense the fourth best in the country. I rate Alabama's defense the fourth best in the country. And as you touched on, normally Alabama's got the best defense by far in the country. So number four seems like a step down for him, but it still is an excellent defense. Now, you've got Nick Saban and his defense coordinators going against a true freshman QB. And it's probably the best defense that Clemson's Trevor Lawrence has faced all season long. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup. I like the offensive line of Clemson, but then they're battling against Quinnen Williams in that defensive line. I'd like the receivers and running backs of Clemson probably a little bit over Alabama's back seven, but not by much at all. So I'm going to rate it pretty much even. I'm going to say Clemson's offense, Alabama's defense, I'm going to rate the two even.
Hey, if we left the quarterbacks aside, Phil, obviously the most important position on the field, and they're two tremendous ones, but if we were just drafting between these two rosters tonight, who would be your next pick? Did you already allude to him? Would it be Quinnen Williams, who's 92 in that Alabama defensive line for those taking a look tonight? You have Clelin Ferrell. Dexter Lawrence is ineligible, so we'll declare him ineligible. Do you want a Jerry Jeudy as a skill guy? Who do you think is the very best individual talent on the field tonight, apart from the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Quinnen Williams of Alabama, and it's pretty remarkable. I think almost all season long he was voted the defensive player of the game for Alabama each and every game during the season. I think there was one where he missed out, and when you've got the amount of talent that Alabama has on the defensive side of the ball to get that award consistently on a weekly basis, that just says enough right there. So if the coaching staff's that high on him and this multi-talented of a defense, I think Quinnen Williams is the top draft pick overall that's coming out of this game.
I think we were both surprised to the degree that Clemson just annihilated Notre Dame, so it's certainly a step up in class tonight. What do you think of Tua against Clemson's defense, which just rattled Ian Book? Notre Dame fell apart and could do nothing, basically.
Yeah, I'm going to give a slight edge here to the Alabama offense. I do like the Clemson defensive line. It's the best defensive line in the country. They are taking on one of the top offensive lines in the country. I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee, and we had Alabama as one of our three finalists for the top offensive line in the country. They just missed out to Oklahoma, but they do have an excellent offensive line, which may slow down that Clemson defensive front. When you look at the back seven, I give Alabama the edges there at the running back and receiver. A couple of games this year, Clemson's secondary was exposed. They gave up over 400 yards passing to Texas A&M, over 500 yards passing to South Carolina. And I think the Notre Dame game, while they eventually wore Notre Dame down, I mean, I think the absence of Julian Love in the secondary during the three key drives in the second quarter really hurt Notre Dame. They were missing three of their key defenders. Clemson finally got their footing after a very slow first quarter and was able to take advantage with a large halftime lead, which I think took Notre Dame completely out of their game at that point and led to the 23-3 route. So overall, when I'm looking at Alabama's offense against the Clemson defense, as good as that Clemson defense is, we get the slightest edge to Alabama's offense.
Hey, Phil, let me jump back to Trevor Lawrence for a moment. Occasionally, when there's been a little bit of vulnerability, that Tide defense, it's been dealing with the running quarterback. Now, Lawrence isn't a look-to-run guy. He's certainly not a statue. Where do you see his legs as a threat tonight?
Well, they're going to have to use him, and there's nothing they have to hold back for. You know, during the season, they might have been a little concerned, hey, we can't get Trevor Lawrence banged up because Kelly Bryant's gone. And although their third-string quarterback did well in the game against Syracuse, in fact, guided the comeback win, I don't know if you want him back there as your starting quarterback. But now it's a championship game. I think you will see Lawrence run a little bit more than he has most of the season. And to give you an example, you know, he had basically seven carries, but it wasn't really seven carries against Notre Dame. I think a couple were kneel downs, 3-4, 3-3. And I think tonight he gets up there in the probably the 8 to 10 range. I think they will utilize his mobility.
All right, you all season long always process one I know that we agree on is generally underrated in how it can swing outcomes, special teams. The obvious is the kicking results, the place kickers, but field position. You know, one team has to be routinely going 80, 85 yards, the other 55, 60 yards. Do you see any fundamental special teams edge tonight?
Probably the biggest edge in the game here goes to Alabama. My special teams ratings have Alabama rated at number 19 in the country, and they have Clemson coming in at number 102. And a player to watch, if you're looking for an underrated player tonight, would be Jaylen Waddle, the explosive wide receiver for Alabama. As I mentioned, Clemson's secondary has shown some vulnerabilities this year. You got to figure they're going to key on Jerry Jeudy, which could give Waddle some space. Remember, Waddle had over 100 yards receiving against Georgia. And then how about Waddle on punt returns? He averages about 15 yards per punt return. Clemson's net punting is not great. I think if Waddle gets his hands on a couple of punt returns, could prove to be that field position change that you look for. So I think special teams edge clearly goes to Alabama in this one.
Phil, Clemson, the semifinal game aside, and they just feel, hey, we're much closer to Deshaun Watson at quarterback with Trevor Lawrence than with Bryant last year. Clemson lost close the first time, 45-40, then won that thriller the second year. So Clemson has every reason to think we can look Alabama in the eye and match them talent for talent, play for play. But for either team tonight, in terms of style of play or other reason, do you think a good start playing from ahead is any more important for one versus the other?
Yeah, I do think it is important. I think you don't want to be back on your heels playing against either defense. Both defenses have the capability of rushing the quarterback. You look at Alabama, they have 45 sacks on the year. Clemson has 51 sacks on the year. So both teams will get after the quarterback, and if you all of a sudden get down to a team like that that can put that type of pressure on the quarterback, it could mean some trouble. So I think getting out to a good start is important for both teams and could be a key factor in the game.
If Tua goes down, they'll play a little bit differently with Jalen Hurts, but as he demonstrated in the SEC championship game, he went 26-2 for some reasons. All the talent around him is part of them. If Lawrence gets knocked out and the freshman Bryce is in, I know he led the comeback against Syracuse, but if Lawrence goes down, is it totally over right away?
I wouldn't say over, but I would definitely give a huge advantage to Alabama at that point if Chase Bryce went down. So backup quarterbacks, to me, it's a slam dunk. You're taking Jalen Hurts, all those wins under his belt, and he really has been a much better passing quarterback this year. If you look at his numbers, he actually hit 75% of his passes, an 8-2 ratio. I think when he comes into games, opponents are starting to look for the run first. And to have that type of experience that Jalen Hurts does, I mean, let's take face it, he's been in these championship games before versus a guy who's basically played in one game, the Syracuse game, is a massive advantage backup quarterback to Alabama.
Phil, the number's 5.5, and look, at this point, these teams at this level, when it's one game, the number always makes sense. So 5.5, I guess maybe you can find 6 some places. What do you think tonight? High-scoring game, mid-scoring game, 57.5, I think, is the last total I saw. Just some general thoughts as to how you think it goes tonight.
You know, I think that Vegas has got this number perfect. It's exactly where I would put it if I was a Las Vegas lines maker. You have to make Alabama the favorite based on the history and based on the talent, the type of season that they've had. But, you know, when you look at the spread, Dabo Swinney is a guy who is 9-1 straight up and against the spread in the playoffs and bowl games, and that is since 2012. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, his last 9 playoff and bowl games, he's 6-3 straight up, 3-6 against the spread. So you can't lay too many points with Alabama. I do feel Bama's a better football team. I put the line around 6, and that's exactly where they have it. I don't see any value at all playing either Alabama or Clemson. In fact, if you lose your money going against this Clemson team as an underdog or going against Alabama, it's your own damn fault. And to me, the slightest of leans probably comes with the over. I'll tell you, my computer's got the game at about 60 points. I think that neither team is going to have success just running the football down the other's throat. They both have too good a run defenses, too good a talent in the defensive front 7. So you're going to need some big plays. Both secondaries have proven vulnerable this year. I think you may see some big plays in the passing game, and that has me leaning towards the over. But once again, if I was setting a number, I'd probably have it set at 60 for the game. The total's 57.5. So you're not looking at a great deal of margin there. To me, it's going to be a great football game to watch, but much like the Super Bowl, probably one of the weaker games of the year to even bet on because there's really no hidden value in this game. Everybody knows everything about Alabama and Clemson. Meanwhile, during the regular season when you know a team like Tulane is playing Louisiana, a lot of teams have no idea even who the starting quarterbacks are. You get a lot better value there.
Phil, a couple of other things before I let you go. You mentioned sometimes it's just good to watch the game. How do you watch the game tonight? Those who haven't seen your home office setup, it has the 12 screens, so when things are going right on a Saturday, you have action of 12 different games simultaneously. Will you go one big screen? Will you toggle volume between the main broadcast, the coach's film room? How will you watch Alabama and Clemson tonight?
Yeah, and it's actually at my work. I've got the 12 TVs. My home office only has 7 TVs, but they're bigger at the home office. So, but it's going to be basically one TV and just the main station volume. I'm not going to be watching all those extra stations and listening to all the comments. Just watching the game is going to be enough for me. So one big screen TV tonight.
That is what I will be doing. And let me go off the board. Obviously, bowl outcomes influenced by team motivation. You're going sometimes as much as a month from your last game to the bowl game. What players opt to play in the bowl game. But for all that, Texas, a real good program win. Tom Herman, second season, auguring well for year 3. Texas A&M had a much easier touch with North Carolina State in its bowl game. But, hey, the Aggies just blasted the Wolfpack. Among your upcoming projects, every year you get minimum 9 of 10, often 10 of 10, in what will be the AP preseason top 10. Give me a general idea of where you have stock for Texas and Texas A&M heading into 2019.
My early take on it right now, and my official take, by the way, for that, as you touched on, most years 9 of 10, many years 10 of 10, and so the 9's been the worst, is February. Late February is when I come out with that, but I think when you look at Texas this year, they're probably going to enter the polls. Right now, if I was to venture a guess, I would say Texas is number 7 in the AP poll at the start of the year. Very impressive win over Georgia. A lot of good talent coming back. They will be very high on there. And with Texas A&M, they're a borderline top 10 team, but I think they're going to just miss out. I'm looking at Texas A&M being about number 11 or number 12. So in both teams, you're looking at a pair of top 12 teams in the preseason. February, I'll have it for sure which teams are in the top 10 of the AP. But for now, I'd say Texas 7, Texas A&M 12.
Well, Longhorns and Aggies will both be pleased to hear that. Of course, A&M's schedule next year at Clemson, at Georgia, at LSU, plus Alabama coming to Kyle Field. That, of course, will always influence those types of things. So, Phil, I'm thinking maybe late February. Next time I'll rattle the cage and get you on maybe in conjunction with the release of your annual pre-season top 10. But for season 2018, it culminates tonight. As always, year number 71, 72, they all run together. However many years you've been good enough to come on a full-time basis. Here's to 2018 into 19, and we look forward soon enough to full-time come the fall.
Yeah, it sounds great, Charlie. I've enjoyed doing the show with you for many, many years now, and wishing you a very happy new year, and we'll definitely talk to you in February.
Thank you, Phil. Enjoy the game tonight. Phil Steele, our college football guy forever and always, at least as long as I'm getting to do this for a living. All right, I need to catch up on a break, and then back to Texans Colts aftermath, post-mortem, autopsy, however you choose to view it. Go a little bit beyond that as well. NFL playoffs, Lamar on Rockets Nuggets. U of H hoops, 15-0, up to number 17 in this week's AP poll. All right, a message here for Tri-Eagle Energy, Texas-born, serving customers since 2003. You can distill it very clearly. What are you paying, right? The electricity is the electricity. Your provider, in terms of cost, it comes down to kilowatt-hour rate. Pull a recent bill. It's easy to just pay it. What if you can continue to pay it, and one simple switch, cut your bill 20-25% per month? Thousands have done it. I've done it. Tri-Eagle Energy, A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. While I get you to try Tri-Eagle Energy, the website is TRIEagleEnergy.com. Very simply presented. They're different per kilowatt hour options. Do a direct comparison to what you are paying now. If you would rather call, it's a toll-free number, 877-93-EAGLE, and just tell them, look, here's what I'm paying. What can you do for me? Turns out you're in an awesome deal now. Good for you. If you're like the majority, five-minute switch, 20-25% savings per month, some even more than that. 877-93-EAGLE, online, TRIEagleEnergy.com. Work in promo code Charlie online or over the phone for an additional discount off of your rate. TRIEagleEnergy.com, 877-93-EAGLE, promo code Charlie. Also throw in, you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.